In the days of Samuel Johnson, dictionary entries could be occasionally spry and whimsical. Today, however, they must be sober and analytical. So it's hardly surprising that the public perception of lexicographers is of a rather dull, plodding crew caught in an endless cycle running from A to Z and then turning tail and scampering back to the beginning, trying to capture minor changes from the fringes of language that need to be assessed and defined. Well, in the new book, The Word Detective, Searching for the Meaning of It All at the Oxford English Dictionary, former chief editor of the OED, John Simpson, acknowledges that these stereotypes aren't all wrong. After all, writing a dictionary is serious business. But what he also tells us is that lexicography is an entertaining, engaging, and thought-provoking examination of the connections between our language and our history. John Simpson is the author of The Word Detective, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. John, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
Very nice to have you here. It's a great honor to speak to you. At what point after leaving the job as chief editor did you think that you had stories and a story to tell?
It's interesting because throughout I was there for about 40 years, and the early part happened such a long time ago that you sort of mythologize the events and you form your own view of what happened. And it became like a sort of film in my head, what it was like in those early years learning the workings of this great historical dictionary. And so actually, before I left, I was contacted by a New York literary agent who said, "Have you thought about writing your story?" And I hadn't really thought about writing it down and telling it. It was just there in my head. And that was the sort of starting point. So when I did leave work about 4 years ago now, I sort of sat down and started scribbling. And I thoroughly enjoyed writing it. It was great fun. I wanted to write a sort of chatty, conversational book about words and language, and a bit about dictionaries and a bit about me as well. So it wasn't ever going to be a heavily footnoted, scholarly book about dictionaries. I wanted it to show that words were fun. That was the point of it.
I do want to talk about your job as the chief editor and what goes into the decisions of what to keep in and to change and to take out. But I would like to talk just as a baseline about your job as a caretaker, really, of this very, very important document.
Right. It's a job that has sort of two sides to it. You're dealing with the language from the earliest period up to the present day throughout the world, not just in Britain, but in America, Australia, whatever, wherever English is spoken. And on the one hand, you're describing, you're monitoring precisely how the language has changed as you see it from documentary evidence over the years. And on the other hand, you're aware that people want guidance on how they should use language. So those are sort of two ends of the spectrum, the prescriptive and the descriptive attitudes. Linguists these days like to describe what they see. People who buy dictionaries often want to be told whether something's right or wrong. And we veered towards that descriptive side very much, but we always wanted to let people know if, saying phenomena as a singular was standard or non-standard. We wouldn't say it was wrong, but we'd just say it was not standard to use phenomena as a singular, for example. So, we were historians of language. That was what we regarded ourselves as being.
Do you feel that you personally put your mark on the OED, or is it a tradition and a mantra and a rule-based system that you adhere to as historians of the language?
What it was, and that's an interesting question, because lexicographers, dictionary writers these days try not to impose their character, their personality on dictionaries, because we're working in teams. There were about 75 of us working on the OED when I left. And so you're not trying to make it a personal dictionary. On the other hand, there were lots of policy decisions we had to make, whether to leave out ever to leave out words from the dictionary as we started to revise it, for example, or whether it was just a constantly growing cumulative document. And so it was those decisions about the policy decisions that were important for me, as well as the details of the individual words that we were working on.
The history of the dictionary, the importance of the OED, I assume factor into those discussions very much, the legacy of that document.
Yeah, because the dictionary began from an idea in the Philological Society in London in the late 1850s. So, and the first installment of the dictionary, which was published over 44 years, wasn't produced until 1884, after about 30 years of collecting data. And so the mass of the dictionary was actually written at the beginning of the 20th century. And for us to go in and revise the dictionary, you can't just turn an enormous steamship like that round if you want to change something. You have to do it carefully, cautiously, with care. So you're guiding it towards where you want the dictionary to be pointing in the future. And I think by the time I finished, we had changed policy. Language has changed so much that we did have a modern dynamic dictionary rather than the old monolithic book-bound dictionary that I started with in the 1970s, because we were online, because it was accessible to anybody with a computer, really.
Yes, let's focus in on that modern aspect. And much of the story has to do, and much of the mark you put on the dictionary was digitizing it and bringing it online. At what point during your tenure did you realize that was something that the OED was going to have to do?
Right, well, that's quite sort of central to the early part of the book, because there were various of us in the dictionary and in the university press in Oxford in the early 1980s who realized that the dictionary wasn't really going anywhere. It was an enormous great, by that time it was 16 volumes long, and it was getting too big to update, and gradually we could see that there was becoming, this is before the internet, before the World Wide Web, there was beginning to be a technology which would allow a medium in which we could publish the dictionary and make it more accessible if we could put the 16 volumes of dictionary onto a computer database or whatever in a searchable way. Don't want to get too technical here, because
no, I understand that
it's not something that everybody's particularly interested in. But it was a massive, risky task in the 80s, and it was great that the University Press in Oxford was prepared to go with it, because a lot of people would have chickened out.
So I do have to ask you, without getting then technical, but more toward the just the gossipy then, which is you write in the book that despite this expansionist optimism, Ed and I recognized in the very late 80s and early 90s that we would not be handed the future on a plate. Instead, we would need to argue convincingly for the sort of OED that we had begun to envisage. So what was that? What did you see? And how strenuously, and you write about this beautifully, of how strenuously did you have to argue?
Oh, well, we had dictionary writers don't really like meetings, but you have to have meetings sometimes to give yourself a future. By the end of the 1980s, we had the dictionary already on computer. We were printing the second edition of the dictionary in 20 volumes from the computer text. But it started to become clear in the 90s that we needed to go online. And that's what we needed. After the University Press in Oxford had put a lot of money into the big project to computerize the dictionary, we then had to go along and say, look, can we have another whole lot of money to put the thing online? Because, one of the first 500 websites, searchable dictionary online. And so traditional publishers, they didn't throw money at risky ventures like that. But I actually that was an element of the work that I enjoyed, the fact that it was risky, that it wasn't certain that we'd actually ever be able to do what we wanted to do, but if we could, we'd be putting off a great coup. So that sort of excited me throughout the whole process.
You do talk in the book about how it takes much less time than it used to for new words to enter the dictionary. Is that because of this technological aspect?
People are much more aware of them, and they spread around the world much more quickly because of the communications. So in the old days, we used to have a rule in the 1970s that if we had five examples of a new word over 5 years' worth of documentation, then we'd think of putting it into the dictionary. Well, I mean, five examples now would be completely nonsensical. With all of if you look at even gross spelling mistakes on search engines, you'll find many more than five examples. We wouldn't want to commit ourselves to putting all of those in the dictionary. So we had to raise the bar into the thousands rather than the four or five examples. So, yeah, there were sort of massive changes because of the new environment we were living in.
I always wondered how much competition there was in the dictionary world. How worried are you as the chief editor of what Merriam-Webster is doing, of what Random House is doing, of what American Heritage is doing?
No, we were actually interested in what they were doing, and they're not historical dictionaries to the same depth as the OED is, so there wasn't actually competition in that way. In fact, in the early days, Webster's and the OED used to swap data quite a lot. Any other dictionary house, there's a sort of fraternity of feeling amongst the editors. They were all in those days collecting enormous great card files and often sharing information between them. So yeah, we didn't really. I mean, I never felt a commercial. I haven't really got a commercial strain in my body. So I was more interested in the text, the words, the definitions, the history of the language, and that's what all lexicographers are. So once we get together, that's what we talk about, rather than competitive rivalry.
It seems to be very consistent with what you write about in the book, in the sense that the whole idea to put it online was to democratize, I believe is the word you use, democratize the dictionary so that everyone has access to it.
Well, yeah, because we felt in the old days, in the 1970s, that really it was academics going to their university library and pulling these enormous tomes off the shelves, or occasionally somebody would go to their public library in their town and look at the OED. But having it on computer gave you the option, we could see that even then, as soon as the internet had come along, we saw that they had the option of actually accessing the dictionary from their own desk in the university at first, and now later from their armchair at home, whatever, or on the pavement on their mobile phone these days. So yeah, it was a great opportunity to bring all the work we were doing right into people's front room.
Is there something that you felt good about getting out to the world and writing the book of, people really should know this about what a lexicographer does?
Yeah, I wanted people to know that we don't just sit there at our little desks writing dreary definitions and then moving on to the next definition. And I wanted to show that there was an excitement about tracking and detecting the history of words, which should be understandable, and as far as I understand from people who've read the book, is understandable to somebody who isn't necessarily a linguist. And one of the nice things I found, you know, at home, my wife, she's mentioned in the book several times, she's not particularly interested in dictionaries, oddly enough, and yet once she'd read the book, for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, she was starting to ask me language type questions, you know, as if she was suddenly interested in, she realized there was a sort of aura around words which she might want to investigate further. And then that sort of drifted away after a few days, and she's back to normal now. But it was great. I've seen that with other people as well. They suddenly become more attuned to words, because that's really what I was trying to make people feel.
Are you really good at crossword puzzles?
No, I don't really like. I like solving real problems, not problems that people have created on a paper. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's a great answer.
With data.
Yeah, that's a great answer. The book is delightful. It's so much fun to read. It's The Word Detective, Searching for the Meaning of It All at the Oxford English Dictionary, a memoir by John Simpson. It's published by Basic Books. John, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is The Word Detective by John Simpson, published by Basic Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.